Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, the NAGB. And you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that also, if you have to get out of the car and you want to hear the rest of the show, you can go to our website afterwards and everything is uploaded there. You can listen to it in peace later on. Our website is www.nagb.org.bs. So go there, you go to the learning menu, the education menu, scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you can hear all the archive shows. I'm in the studio tonight with Anina Major, Sonia Farmer, and John Beadle, who are all Bahamian artists, some located here. John Beadle's located here. Sonia's currently studying in Iowa, and Anina is living in New York. And you've been away from home quite a while too, right?
I have.
So yeah. So it's kind of also different levels of. And I never asked Holly if that was a purposeful in regards to this project. The artists here have been asked to, they are in a current show at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas entitled We Suffer to Remain. The show is based around, they were asked to respond to the work of a Scottish artist, Graham Fagan, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago. The piece is called The Slave's Lament, and it's based on a poem written in 1792 by the Scottish poet Robert Burns. And right before the break, you were speaking, John, about that poem and kind of how even that sort of bothered, like the poem itself bothered you.
Yes.
But do you not think that, again, I can totally understand that bothers you, but I'm amazed that someone, I'm not amazed, but again, someone in 1792 coming out of that culture would even care enough to write a poem from the point of view to try to evoke empathy or sympathy or whatever. I can't find, because you just imagine that everyone back there was, you know,
I don't know.
Does that not change any way you look at it?
No, because I am a skeptic by heart. I don't know the politics of the time.
Yeah.
I don't know what role he played. So I am going by the poem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't even wish I did the research. I think I somehow kind of blissfully ignorant is comfortable in this. I don't know if that even makes sense. But yeah, understanding the politics of the time might have fleshed it out some more.
Well, I mean, what was interesting for me is when he spoke to, because he talked about how the poem itself kind of seemed to romanticize this, you know, horribly traumatic experience, right? And make it seem sort of beautiful that this person was sort of longing for home.
For the 1700s, that's common.
Right.
Yeah, of course. No, of course, romantic poetry is common. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But I thought what was interesting is when he spoke to how, like, that figure, Robert Burns, had been so romanticized in Scottish culture. And it was only when he read a book that kind of tried to show the human side of him and with his flaws, with his, you know, that the artist discovered the other poems, which had sort of been hidden. Because, of course, no one, and especially the ones that are critical of the UK and critical of the union with the UK.
But this particular one didn't seem like a protest piece.
Yeah. No, you have a point, absolutely. So, but, you know, I think that he discovered it only through somebody breaking the romantic tradition, I thought was an interesting idea.
Well, using the tools of the time to protest. I mean, you can't take a poem from, like, 2018 and take it back to the 1700s that wasn't poetry to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
So you know, that's the tools that they had.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do.
Yeah. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about your responses, if I may. Let's start with Sonia this time.
Sure.
Because we started with Anina last time. So how did you then respond to that? I mean, I know the work you're showing kind of came out of a residency that probably happened before you met the poem.
Right. But I think my work didn't come out of a response, an invitation to respond to Graham's work specifically, but Holly, the curator, saw my work in progress and thought that it would enter into a dialogue well with Graham's work. Mm-hmm. And I think she was right to see that because I didn't see it. It was still in progress for a while. So my piece is called A True and Exact History, and it's an artist book. That uses the material from a book published in 1657 by Richard Ligon, an Englishman. And his book is called A True and Exact History of the Island of Barbados. And he was an Englishman who exiled himself from his country to go to, you know, the colonies, as one did, and write about his life there. He spent a couple of years mm-hmm. in Barbados, mm-hmm. and he wrote this book about his experience under the guise of it being a business manual for mm-hmm. sugar plantation model. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He fancied himself an architect and an artist and all of those things that a gentleman of his time would be privileged to enjoy. So he had drawings of these, of a sugar mill, architectural drawings of a sugar mill. He had botanical drawings. He had a very sort of fantastical and strange and bizarre topological map of the island of Barbados. All of these were included along with his text. And the text is not a business manual, not a travelogue, not a natural history, not a personal history. It's just a little bit of everything, and mm-hmm. it eludes categorization. It is a critique, too, in the language, right? Well, the only way that he had to critique the plantocracy at the time, the sort of group that held power in Barbados during the time of the sugar plantation model sort of flourishing, he does fit a critique into there as well, which can't be overt because it just can't. Mm-hmm. But it's using whatever tools he had to mm-hmm. critique at the time. So this book was pulled for me at a residency when I was at Fresh Milk, an art platform in Barbados, mm-hmm. Which is run by Annalie Davis. She pulled it for me from their reading room, the Colleen Lewis reading room, because she thought I might be interested in it. And mm-hmm. I was very interested in it. So mm-hmm. I began an erasure of the text. And erasure is a process by which one takes an existing text and removes pieces of that text in order to create a new text. Mm-hmm. So I created a new poem out of that book. Mm-hmm. And the poem, you know, sometimes when we create, we're not really entirely sure what we're doing at mm-hmm. first, but mm-hmm. as I worked through it, the language that I was interested in pulling out of this text was concerned with examining sort of like the violence in the Caribbean space. So I created this poem, and last year I began to make an artist book out of the mm-hmm, poem mm-hmm. using Ligon's imagery from his book to create sort of a landscape that doesn't give you a foothold. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a liminal space mm-hmm. through the language and through the imagery. Mm-hmm. So it's a very uprooted space and a very it's a restless space. So when one reads the book, one exists in this sort of restless space, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Living and working here as descendants of Anglo settlers, mm-hmm. Many of us, how do you, do you find that work, or do you feel that work might be critiqued for the very same reason John is is uncomfortable with?
Absolutely.
That, you know, why should, like, is it for you to do that?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And what would your response be?
I mean, when I made this piece, I was thinking a lot about what it meant for Ligon to write something with such an authoritative title as A True and Exact History, mm-hmm. As sort of a white Englishman just visiting the islands, mm-hmm. and how this happens today still.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm thinking about that, and then that, of course, makes me think about myself being a white Bahamian of English descent,
mm-hmm.
engaging with this piece. And I suppose what I aim to do, so I used to sort of write poetry just sort of like grabbing things out of the air, right? Mm-hmm. Like as people mm-hmm. write or as people create, but mm-hmm. I'm more interested now in engaging with existing texts and culling something from them, because I think part of that maybe comes from thinking that people like me have already said enough,
mm-hmm.
and there needs to be space for other people. And I think that's also why I have my press, to build mm-hmm. a platform for other mm-hmm. voices.
Mm-hmm.
But I also do publish myself. And so I think I'm working with existing texts because I'm just trying to maybe sort of start to question or subvert the power structures in those texts to create something new, instead of just making something new from my own perspective because mm-hmm. we've heard it already.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why, like, my subject matter tends to engage with those kinds of texts or figures, like mm-hmm. my poems about Anne Bonny, who's like a white mm-hmm. female pirate, or mm-hmm. Even erasures of Jean Rhys's work, and Jean Rhys was a white Dominican mm-hmm. Writer. So those are purposeful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In order to, yeah, so I understand, sort of create a platform so that others can speak, but also, I mean, I think, you know, again, there's always going to be the problems that no matter what we do, there's always going to be another reading, right?
Absolutely. That, yeah, and I think my piece invites many readings, mm-hmm, and I hope that mm-hmm. people can come to it with, from whatever perspective or level mm-hmm, they come mm-hmm. at. I mean, there's also the fact that I'm using a book about Barbados, and I also was only there for a month, mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. know, and that's
the idea of kind of like parachuting in and out again, yeah, which
absolutely.
Is something
and
very
that,
privileged, right?
Right, so, and that comes, yeah. you know, from the fact that I was just there for residency and creating, mm-hmm. I guess, site-specific work. Eventually, I thought I would go in bringing my own work, but mm-hmm. it's very hard to go in somewhere and not be influenced by the space you're
mm-hmm,
in.
Sure.
And when I decided to engage with this piece, I thought I'm going to strip place, just as people who think about the Caribbean strip like specificity from it mm-hmm. so that we become this sort of like homogenous landscape. Part of my decision to sort of strip Barbados in terms of language from the space is the island is just referred to as the island. Mm-hmm. So it can be sort of any island. And I think that people from the Caribbean will come to that seeing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they kind of. But the identity being stripped away isn't only about how foreigner or like anyone sees the Caribbean. So everyone thinks, you know, we all have the same accent.
Right.
You know, they're surprised we don't have West Indian accents when we travel. But also, it's about the stripping away of identity. I mean, I felt like that, and I know I asked you some questions, and you were like, "Yeah, no, I wasn't really thinking about that." But you know, again, I see, like, maybe again,
yeah.
that's my reading.
Totally
like,
knows.
I see the stripping of mm-hmm. identity of like you uproot people from their country forcibly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They're going to land in a place and have a feeling of, mm-hmm. You know, you speak to uprootedness, you speak to feeling unsure.
Yes.
And so, you know, again, I can't look at your piece without thinking of that
without
thinking of this erasure as being like, you know,
right.
I'm connecting to the erasure of people's identity, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And there's a mesh of voices in the piece. Like, I hope people can hear different perspectives and different voices coming out of that poem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's a traveler coming to the island. Sometimes it's the people living on the island in several different places. And sometimes I think it's also the island itself,
mm-hmm.
which deserves a voice.
Well, yeah, because our landscape also affects us so much,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And I mean, after the break, we'll hear about Anina's piece and John's, of course, too. But, you know, that you carried, like, parts of our landscape around with you
yes.
so long, right? I think it's really interesting how our landscape just is almost like still our navel cord, even
yeah.
though maybe it, from, you know, the people that were ripped from their home, it actually isn't the landscape of
mm-hmm.
the, you know, so it's
yeah.
this very complicated relationship to,
mm-hmm.
to landscape and place and you know what that means to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 2 minutes left, but I'm going to go to a break now because I want to give John and Anina lots of time to speak about their work as well. We're talking about the show that's currently on at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, We Suffer to Remain. The artists in the room with me tonight, Anina Major, John Beadle, and Sonia Farmer, were asked to respond or to have their work put in dialogue with a piece by a white Scottish artist called Graham Fagan. And that piece is called The Slave's Lament. And we're speaking about sort of, you know, the feelings that were engendered by being asked to even participate and for the work, and then also the artist's work and what they did to respond to that piece. Anyone who hasn't seen the show, I really encourage you to come down. The National Art Gallery is open Monday to, no, I'm lying, Tuesday to Sunday. Tuesday to Saturday, 10 to 5, but there is a ticket price, but on Sunday it's free for everyone in the Bahamas, so anyone can come on Sunday from noon to 5, and we really encourage you to come down, and we also have free tours on Sunday for any local residents, so we really would love you to come down and engage with that. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. You're listening to 96.9, and we're going to be right back after this break.